you still got to try and get him to move a little bit.
Fired across, intercepted by Brandon Carey. Gives it right back to Zuccarello. McDonough down low to Nash.
Welcome inside another week's edition of the NYR Zone podcast. It's your man, Dom Reno, over here. Hope everyone had a great week. Last week, enjoyed the show. Good to get to start off with some good news. We will be back for the full 2017-18 Rangers season. There was up in the air on whether or not we'd be covering games like we normally would have, but I'm proud to announce that we will be back for the entirety of the season. No updates on next season as of yet. Have a lot of fun features going on this year. The podcast will continue. It'll expand, hopefully, to even bigger than what it was last year. The website has a new design. Take a look at that. Send some thoughts on it. I like how it looks. So that should be good. We have a lot of things to talk about today. Rangers training camp just getting underway down at their training center in Greenburg. So let's get into that right away. And first things first, we need to look at a new rule that the NHL announced shortly after we uploaded our podcast from last week. Excuse me. So the NHL is looking to add a two-minute penalty after a failed offside challenge. Now, we know last year that the challenge offsides was very controversial throughout the season. I believe it was the second full year the NHL had the coaches challenge for goaltender interference and offside. And a lot of coaches just said, you know what, that was kind of close to offside. So we were looking at who skates on the ice. And that kind of takes away from the hockey play. And I have a very simple viewpoint on this. Offside's a judgment call. No other sport allows judgment calls to be reviewed. At least that I'm aware of. So if that's the case, why do we in the NHL need to be any different? Why should the Pittsburgh Penguins be allowed to score a goal? Then, let's say the Rangers say that they think they're offside and they get the challenge wrong, and you put the best, probably one of the best power plays in the league right back on the power play, and bam, you're down 2-0 in a matter of 3 minutes. I don't understand the logic behind it. I don't agree with it. And then if you want to make an argument for that, we can also argue that goaltender interference is also a penalty at certain points based off of the referee's discretion. So if we're going to challenge a goal that we think is goaltender interference with, and it is, why don't we give the team interfered with the goalie a penalty? But no, that's where the judgment call comes into play because it's up to the referee's discretion. So it's a very blurry rule. It's a rule that needs to be tweaked. I don't think giving a two-minute penalty to a team that fails in an offside challenge helps at all. To be fair, they're trying to cut back on pace of play for some reason, game length. And the NHL has no problem with game length. Trust me when I say that. It's not football and it's not baseball. Their games aren't going 4 hours. Only way that can go that game can go 5 hours if it's a playoff game, because in season, you're not seeing that. And someone will watch a five-hour game in the playoffs. That's why you have the shootout and 3-on-3 overtime. And if we really want to address an issue, let's talk about the shootout. Because those are still ending ways, too. I still think you should have a 10-minute overtime. First 5 minutes, 4-on-4, then switch sides, then go to 3-on-3. And then decide from there. Or you want to do 10 minutes of 3-on-3 and do 5 minutes on one side, 5 on the other side, so they can switch sides, give the players a commercial break, rest, and then go at it. Games, if you give 10-minute 3-on-3, the game will end. And then after 10 minutes, you go to the shootout. But that's another topic for another day. So that's just how I feel about the failed challenge, the 2-minute penalty giving to it. Don't necessarily agree with it. Think It is a recipe for disaster. And ultimately what it's going to do is it's going to force teams to be more selective when they challenge, which is kind of what you want. No more of a, I got a hunch and I'm just going to do it as it is, or because it's not like baseball where you can hold a game up for 45 seconds to a minute, looking at all angles if possible, then making a challenge. You know, remember old Samuelson stands right on top, or stood right at the blue line, and Scar O'Neill does it too. So that's kind of something to see. So they caught it and they told Vigneault to challenge it, and it would work sometimes. But now I'm not saying to get rid of the offside challenge altogether, but if you're going to give penalties, then give it on a goaltender interference one. So that's one where I don't necessarily understand entirely, don't completely agree with. I do think that if they're going to go to this route, then just get rid of the offside challenge altogether. No one's going to complain. Because then you also have plays that are offside from a minute ago. You could be on a power play and the puck just went over the blue line, and you have the puck and you kept it in, and it was really offside, but it wasn't called, and you're in the offensive zone for about another minute, and then you score on the goal, and then a coach will go back and say, well, that's offside. Maybe you could add a time limit on that, but that's too complicated. So the offside challenges in this league is just going downhill. It's very interesting thing to look at. The Rangers and other teams just wrapped up the Traverse City tournament, a tournament for rookies to showcase their skills. Rangers did not fare very well in there. They went 1-3, finishing in last place. Won their first game 3-2 against Chicago. Lost to Carolina 4-0. Lost to Detroit 4-1. Lost to Dallas 4-1. So those are just some simple updates on what's been going on around. Obviously, training camp is getting underway. That's what most of this episode will be about. We'll talk about some of the things that have gone down through training camp. Alain Vigneault piece, the blog piece on the Madison Square Garden Company blog. I'll read some key points, react to that. He had his press conference. We'll look at the Rangers training camp roster, which we will do actually right now. Get an idea of who is going to be there and some interesting players that we'll look at. So we'll look at just a simple rundown of the list. You have Elias Anderson, Pavel Buchnevich, Paul Carey, Daniel Kadanaki, Adam Chappie, Philip Chytil, David Desharnais, Andrew Desjardins, who they signed to a player's tryout, Bobby Farnham, Jesper Fast, Steve Fogarty, Gabriel Fontaine, Tim Gettinger, Michael Grabner, Ryan Gropp, Hayes, Scott Kosmachuk, Robin Kovacs, Kreider, Dawson Ladal, Vinny Letteri, JT Miller, Nash, Cristóbal Buñuelas, Pumpel, Ty Ronning, Cole Schneider, who they signed as a free agent, Malte Stromwall, Adam Tambellini. Stromwall had a good Traverse City tournament. You got VZ, Sabinajad, Zuccarello. Then the young defenseman they signed from Russia, Alexei Breglazov. I don't know why I had a problem over there. Brandon Crawley, Sean Day, Tony D'Angelo, who they got in the Derek Stepan Antti Raanta trade. John Gilmore, Ryan Graves, Holden Kampfer, Brendan Kodak, McDonough, Vince Pedri, Neil Pionk, Shattenkirk, Brady Shea, Brendan Smith, Stahl, Sergei Zaborski, goaltenders Alexander, Georgiev, Halvorsen, Lundqvist, Chris Neal, and obviously Pavlik. So getting into some extensive list of players. There's some players that I have circled that I'm actually really kind of excited to see play based off of draft status and what we saw from them from last year. Obviously, the first one that I think every Ranger fan wants to get a look at is the controversial draft pick that they took with in the top 10 pick they acquired from the Coyotes in that trade for Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta is Elias Anderson. Anderson is still 18. The Rangers surprised a lot of people when they took him with that pick, but the reason why they took him with that pick is because he was the most, some people argue, the most NHL-ready player in the first round, possibly in the draft. He is a center, so he will be competing for the fourth-line center spot with David Desharnais. So we look at Anderson's numbers, decent numbers all around. He put up a really good, impressive World Junior campaign in Sweden in just 7 games, 3 goals, not really much assists, too many assists. But remember, he's still 18. He's still developing, obviously. So that'll be interesting to see. They really like his game, so hopefully that can translate over here. And maybe he'll make the team on a fourth-line center role. Also have Philip Chytil, their other draft pick. I think I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name right. If not, I will correct that when I get a pronunciation accuracy. So if I'm offending you, Philip, I am sorry. Numbers are okay. Like you said, he's another 18-year-old. 38 games played in the Czech. 4 goals, 4 assists. Only not too many points. So things to go over there. Ryan Gropp had a very good year last year. In the WHL with Seattle, 66 games played, 35 goals, 49 assists, 84 points. And it's kind of intriguing because the Rangers have kind of been waiting for Gropp to come into his zone and dominate a level. Don't forget, they took Gropp with the pick they acquired in the Carl Hagelin trade. 6'2", 190 pounds. You will see him in training camp. So I'm excited to see what he can do if he gets into games. Rangers have Laven Yeo has players, teams set up for when they want him to play. So we have Gropp. It'll be fun to look at as well. Cristóbal Nieves. I'm kind of intrigued by him because the Rangers really liked what they saw from him last year. In the preseason. Only played a couple games because he was hurt, but in Hartford, 40 games, 6 goals, 12 assists, only 10 penalty minutes. He did play in one game with the Rangers when they went through a crazy amount of injuries on their Western Canada trip. So he saw some action over there. Sean Day, young defenseman, is going to be there as well. He had a very good season. He combined with 2 teams in the OHL, 15 goals, 22 points, 22 assists, 37 points altogether. So that should be fun to see him play. You hear great reviews about him. Tony D'Angelo, who they got in the trade for Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta, young right-handed defenseman who is from New Jersey. Gotten 39 games with the Coyotes last year. Put up good offensive numbers. Obviously, defensively, it's probably still a work in progress. And it's going to be interesting because I really do think that Nick Holden has secured a spot in the Rangers' defense and from some of the defenseman core, from some of the things that Elaine Vigneault has said over the last day and a half. And I do think that it's going to be between D'Angelo and Staal for the sixth defenseman. So that's going to be another interesting take there. We'll get into that in a couple more weeks when we look at the defense. Standing there, you have John Gilmore, who's another young, exciting prospect. 76 games played down in Hartford. Tallied 6 goals, 19 assists, 25 points. Also, you have Ryan Graves, who was thought had a chance to make this team, but with the additions of Brennan Smith, Kevin Shattenkirk, Brady Shea emerging, you still have Holden. You got D'Angelo now. Breglazov. I don't know why I can't say his name. Probably won't see him at a camp. 76 games played, 8 goals, 22 assists, 30 points. So pretty good season from him last year. Also very excited to see Brady Shea. I want to see if Shea can, what the next level for him is. Last year had a very good season for the Rangers. Only missed 2 games for a healthy scratch. 39 points for the rookie. And he really impressed the Rangers. He took the occasional bad penalty, as did a lot of players did last year. In the playoffs, he was solid with Brendan Smith to a point. There were some plays that I didn't care for, a defensive move that he made. We'll see if he can take the next leap over there. So we'll look over there. Alexander Georgiev is interesting because I feel like him and Andrei Pavlik, as well as Brandon Halvorsen, are competing for the number 2 job. I don't really know if you can say Pavlik is guaranteed to be the backup goalie, although Vigneault did have some comments on Andre, and it kind of sounds like he's going to be the number 2. But it wouldn't surprise me if he gets put Pavlik gets a run for his money. Georgiev is only 21 years old, 27 games played last year in Loja League with Turku, 13-8-4 with 1.7 goals against. Interesting. Obviously, we have Pavlik, who played last season with the Jets, only got in 8 games, was 4-4 with a 3.55 goals against, and wasn't even that good in Manitoba in the American Hockey League, where in just 18 games, he was 8-7-2 and he had 2.78. So that's something that's interesting to see, and it'll be a very important decision for Alain Vigneault. Now, let's get into some of the things that Alain Vigneault did talk about yesterday, and he penned in this little blog that he wrote. So the biggest thing is he thinks the whole group's excited. That was one of the first things he told the media. One of the biggest things he said yesterday is JT Miller will begin the year at center. That changes everything. Excuse me. Because that makes JT Miller not a top four, not a top six player anymore. Put him in the bottom six. Because Zibanejad and Hayes are going to be given the opportunity to be your one and two. So Miller's going to start the year as your number three center. Now, what this does do is I do think it allows for the Rangers to put Buchnevich in a top six role. Or a guy like VZ. Or a guy like Grabner. I think he will be in a top six role now because of how they want to surround the offense around Miller at the center position now. And the thing that's also very intriguing with that is JT Miller was moved from center to the wing because of the defensive responsibility. Now we know why they didn't go after a Tyler Bozak or a Nazem Kadri, because they were intent on going with JT Miller the entire time. And AB made a great point that you don't trade a guy like Derek Stepan if you don't think Zibanejad, Hayes, and Miller can step their game up and play that position pretty well. So that was a very intriguing point from him, very interesting point, and honestly, he's not lying with that. On Pavel Buchnevich, AB said he has no health issues heading into camp. He followed his plan to a T this summer. On Kevin Shattenkirk, he's been one of the best power play guys in the league for some time. Very excited to see what he can do. Brady Shea, he's expecting him to compete for a top four spot. I think he will come out as a top four defenseman paired with Brennan Smith. Jimmy Vesey, he took the pressure head on. For me, he was a gamer. He wants to prove he can contribute and help the team win. Vigneault, on the addition of Lindy Ruff, there's a lot of experience I'm going to tap into. Only good things can come out of that. He did not put this is very interesting, because the last few years he put a specific number that he wanted to give Lundqvist. He did not put a number on potential Lundqvist starts. He's going to play it by ear. Mark Stahl is in a battle for ice time. And Jesper Foss' target to return from his hip surgery is in late October. So one major bomb right there. Mark Stahl is fighting for minutes. And he also said in a quote later on that Stahl is not guaranteed to make the team. Now, Mark Stahl did respond to that today. I'll read you some quotes from Stahl. Stahl said, it's his opinion. This is my 11th season. I'm not naive. I don't take anything for granted. I come into camp with that mindset every year. You got to earn your minutes. It doesn't change my mindset moving forward. I've been a Ranger for a long time, and I plan on being a Ranger for a lot more years. He says he's healthy, and he does feel fresh. Those quotes are from Steve Zippe on Twitter. So Stahl is in a battle for ice time. Now let's just go to the blog that AV penned out. And I'm not reading, it's going to seem like I'm reading the entire thing, but there's some key quotes from here that I think needs to be, AV really was honest with us. So him and his staff met in early August in a hotel room on the Manhattan East Side, talking about things that needed to change. He said he gave his coaching staff homework, and he had homework as well. And when they gathered a couple of weeks later, the changes, and I'm going to quote here, that all the changes still left us with the club that above all is built upon team speed, especially when it comes to getting the puck out of the zone and getting into our offense. We're putting an explanation point on that. So he's saying that this team might be even faster this year. And he's pointing out the strength of this team, which is speed and has been the case all year. And when they get away from their speed games, when they struggle the most. He said that Vigneault also said that the changes we've made were actually going to be quicker than we were a season ago. So that's going to be interesting to see there. I wonder if he's taking, because if you look at it, it's really the same players except Brandon Peary and Derek Stepan. So the changes they made, I'm kind of curious to see that out. He also wrote that our goal this year remains the same, get into the playoffs and make up that small difference and win the Stanley Cup. Vigneault also went on to write, he said, as key players leave, others are presented with an opportunity to assume high-profile roles and define just what kind of team it will be. In short, we have a lot of character players to anchor our team as we go through quite a quiet transformation. Mika Zibanejad, he goes, he's a player with unbelievable potential and talent with his puck handling, his shot, his skating. But it's not always there on a consistent basis. He's wanted this chance for a long time, and now by giving him a long-term deal, we're saying to him, it's your turn now. It's there for you. No excuses. Him and Kevin Hayes will be competing for first-line minutes. Great quote from AV on Mika. He kind of put it in Mika's ear on a locker clean-out that they're expecting more from. They did give him a long-term deal, five-year deal. So Mika has a lot of pressure on his shoulders this year. He goes, there's a lot of pressure on them to take new responsibilities. Same thing goes for JT Miller and Brady Shea. AV went along to say, still quick as we were, I believe that we were a little behind last year. I needed to bring someone like Shattenkirk in. He's a puck-moving defenseman who will help us in transition and on the power play. He has a reputation for making guys around him better. He's extremely dedicated and has a strong way of keeping his teammates accountable. Strong words for Shattenkirk. On Lundqvist, AV went on to say, thankfully, Lundqvist is still our bedrock. He'll be the first to tell you that he wasn't as consistent last year as he would have liked to be, but he's still one of the game's elite goalies. I'm going to make one small adjustment going into the season and not set a number of games for him. Last year, he played in 57 games in the regular season, and I don't know if he'll play more than that or less. I'm just going to feel him out and see what he's feeling and how he's playing. My role remains the same, to give players the strategies to help them exploit the other team's weaknesses. I have to understand what each player needs to excel. Some need soft love. If I raise my voice in a certain situations, I've lost them. Others need tough love. He closed out by saying, you have to block out all the white noise. If we can do that this season, if each man can do that, I really believe we have a chance to take the next step. That next step is winning a Stanley Cup, Elaine. And the team as constructed right now, I don't think can do it. I think there's a glaring weakness at center, and JT Miller playing at center makes that weakness stronger than it ever was before. I penned out some possible line combinations before training camp started that I could see happening. Ultimately, it's going to be Kreider, Zibanejad, Zuccarello, I think, because Kreider, Zuccarello formed some nice chemistry with Derek Stepan on that first line last year. I thought Nash, Hayes, and Miller were going to be a line, but with Miller starting the season out at center, I don't know if that will be the case. Then I saw VZ and Elias Anderson and Michael Grabner on a line along with Pumple, Darren A. and Buchnevich. That was the first group that I kind of thought would play a role. But now I'm kind of thinking along the line of Kreider, Zibanejad, Zuccarello, Rick Nash, Kevin Hayes, Jimmy VZ, Pavel Buchnevich, J.T. Miller, and Michael Grabner. With Pumple, either Anderson or Desharnais. And we'll say maybe when Foss comes back, Foss will be on that fourth line as well. Heck, even if Foss comes back, Foss might get moved to a third line role. We all saw what kind of player Jesper Foss could be in the playoffs. Quality player. Quality player, very important player. I hope some people understand why he gets those first line minutes now, where in the past we questioned why was Jesper Foss getting top line minutes? Because he can play on that top line. He can play anywhere in your lineup. And he is one of the best underrated players in the league. He might be the most underrated player, in my opinion. I'm a big fan of Jesper Foss. Jesper Foss obviously changing his number to 17 with the Rangers retiring his number 19. Gene Ratale going up in the rafters. Excuse me. I do have some number updates for you. Nick Holden will be wearing 55 this year. He gave Kevin Shattenkirk number 22. Andre Pavlik will be number 31. And David Desharnais is at 51. On some of the rookies that we talked about before, Elias Anderson will wear 50. Philip Schreidel, 72. Gropp, 78. Nieves, 24. Day, 85. D'Angelo, 77. Gilmore, 58. Graves, 63. Shea, obviously, remains at 76. Georgiev at 90. Pavlik at 31, like I mentioned before. So very interesting to see how training camp comes. Chris Kreider had a very big scare, gave the Rangers a scare today, left testing to go to the locker room. He lost his edge, spilled drill, slammed into the boards leg first. He went to the locker room but would return later on with Group C. Rangers released a statement on that. Kreider's okay, though, so that's always a good thing. You never want to come out of training camp with any injuries, especially to start a season. The very interesting thing with Lindy Ruff, we'll get into that when we talk about our defense next week. We kind of looked at our forwards. You're kind of hoping that Lindy Ruff can help change his defensive mindset. They moved Jeff Bukaboom into a different position for Lindy Ruff, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers get off to a really slow start that Lindy Ruff might be the next head coach of this team. It could be a situation of what Minnesota did with St. Louis did with Mike Yeo and Ken Hitchcock. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on over there. You need a big season from Rick Nash this year. You might get one from him due to the fact that he will be a free agent this year. Nash, you know, the 20-goal year last year wasn't as big as the year before, and he did miss a lot of time with injury. 67 games played, 23 goals, 15 assists. You will see him have a bigger role on that penalty kill. And, you know, the trade of Stepan and the no one really coming in that is a defensive-minded center, I'm kind of curious to see how this penalty kill is going to look because it was one that did struggle a little bit last year at times. Now, you wonder how much of it was a defenseman issue or how much of it was a personnel issue. And I'm very intrigued to see who's going to be your centers. Mika will be one. And Hayes will be one. Those are your top two. I mean, Hayes and Miller just started seeing penalty kill time last year. And if David Desharnais makes a team, maybe Desharnais does. But are you going to ask a rookie, an 18-year-old rookie, Elias Anderson, to be a penalty killer? Don't forget, you're without Foss the first month of the season. That's a huge penalty killer. And then you have to ask yourself, can Michael Grabner do what he did last year? Can Michael Grabner put up 31 goals? I don't know if he can do that again. If I told you Michael Grabner would lead the Rangers in goals scored last year, would you believe me? No one would. Rangers are expecting Chris Kreider to take an even bigger step than he took last year. You have Matt Zuccarello, who's returning as well. Zuccarello had a good season point-wise, 59 points in 80 games. He's getting up there in age, too. I mean, can you rely on it? But I guess any team, you want a good mixture of young players and veterans. You can always make that argument. But in a speed system like the Rangers have, the older players, do they get tired more quicker? Can the speed system last a full year? Because the Rangers were flying at the beginning of last year when they got off to that really good start. The hole at center that this team has built themselves by not doing anything after they traded Stepan, for me, is remarkable. I said last week, I don't understand what Gorton's plan was. By doing that, I still don't understand it. It's going to be an issue for this team. And instead of getting that defenseman that they normally get at the trade deadline, you're going to see a center come in here if the Rangers are in contention. If they aren't, I expect them to try and trade Rick Nash and get something back to maybe even a young center for Nash on a team that's willing to do it. I was a big Derek Stepan supporter. My biggest argument for keeping Stepan was you need to tell me who was replacing Derek Stepan. If you told me JT Miller was taking Derek Stepan's spot when that trade was made or when that trade was offered, I was in that room, I would have declined it big time. Up the middle defensively, this team is going to struggle. Defensively, it's going to be an issue. It's something that we need that the Rangers are going to have to sit back and address themselves. Now, obviously, things can still happen in training camp. Players can come in with a different mindset. And the argument you can make for what I just said is that you have to give these players a chance. Well, at what point does that chance need to be taken away? Because we've seen the sample size with that at center ice. Rangers don't have a ton of prospects that you could really be excited for offensively, or the ones that you hear about. Anderson's still 18, and he still has a lot. He has a lot of upside. But at that position, if you could have gotten a dynamic young player who can help your team now and in the future, that's the move you had to make. Now, I'm not going to question what the Rangers do, because the Rangers know more about the players they take than we do. It's just they have big shoes to fill in. And did they fill them in? As of right now, no. That will be a major problem for this team. Up the middle. You can always make a trade. You can always sign. A player can always get placed on waivers. You can take him. That's how Matt Pumple got here. They've made trades for Marty St. Louis and Keith Yandel, Eric Staal. But I don't see this team going very far with the core of centers they have right now. I always thought there's a possibility of Miller playing at center again. I mean, don't forget that was his natural position. But the defensive commitment you have to have at the center ice position, and one that Miller doesn't necessarily had when he first came up, is scary. They fixed one very important flaw on this team, the defense. Buying out Girardi, bringing in Shattenkirk, bringing back Smith, another year of Shea, another year of McDonough, giving Staal limited minutes, having him battle for ice time, that's great. That's great. They did it at the risk of hurting their depth at center. Two areas where they were really good at last year, their center, the depth at center and backup goalie is very questionable coming into the season, and one that is going to ultimately hurt them at some point if nothing is done now. I mean, but I will say this. It's training camp just started. Haven't played a preseason game yet. That starts Monday. Next week we'll actually have actual hockey to talk about. So we'll see how the games look. We'll see how the Rangers look. We'll see how Miller looks at center. We'll see how Hayes's advantage had look. We'll see if Kreider took an even bigger step than he took last year. I mean, Kreider last year had a good season. Career year for him. Kreider scored 28 goals and 25 assists, 53 points in 75 games. He missed some games with an injury. So we'll see how that goes. Until then, don't forget to catch the Rangers' first action on Monday night, 7 o'clock against the Islanders. We will have the lineups posted on the blog right before and a post-game recap. Until then, this is Dom Renna saying see you next week, and let's go Rangers. Have a good week, everybody.